Okay, welcome. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam and Garth. It's Thursday, the 9th of July, 2015. This podcast is available from iTunes and also podomatic.com. But you can also go to our website, which is www.krazfiles.com, C-R-A-Z-Z, and heaps of our podcasts up there, older podcasts, all our new ones going up. Plenty of news links going up each day and PDFs, so go and check out krazfiles.com. And thanks for listening to our podcast.
The lights keep changing beyond their horror. Standing in line along the curb, the bed bags wait till the morning comes. You hear yourself walk, echo lonely. See shadows move in every door. Sure, that's your own footsteps behind. Is there really nothing to turn around for?
And you feel that you're always gonna walk the city streets all on your own. Night is dark as a car crawls by and the road goes on and on. They don't even care about you.
Just another big city night. Over your shoulder, round every corner. Remember what's happened to people you've known. Watch for yourself, because no one else will. You're gonna get it if you're alone. Suddenly a stab from a knife out of nowhere. Jump from behind like they always do. It only makes one line in a paper you read. Somebody got it, but it wasn't you.
And you feel that you're always gonna walk the city streets all on your own. Night is dark as a car grows by and the road goes on and on. They don't even care about you. They never even think about you. Cause they're gonna do without you when you're gone.
Just another big city night. Just another big city night. Who's it gonna be tonight?
Okay, Garth, we are plugged in.
All ready to go again, are we?
All functioning. Yes. And David Black's joining us again today. Dave, how are you going?
Hey, Dave, Garth, hey. Adam, how are you, champs?
Good.
Great, Dave.
Dave, you know you should change your last name, Black, don't you? It's very racist.
yeah, no worries.
You can't do that nowadays, Dave.
Carolina or something, yeah.
Yeah, you change it, yeah, immediately.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
With all this computers now in that... That thing you sent me where they can actually read, the computers can read your mind. I mean, talk about crazy stuff, isn't it?
Yep.
Did you get a look at that, Dave, the Jade Helm exercise?
I briefly glimpsed it last night. I was going through some other things. So
it makes sense.
Well, it does. I mean, it does. Interfaces in military.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, everyone's
spooked about it. I know it's mainstream media in the US. Now, Alex Jones, they're all yelling about this Jade Helm, but you're thinking, well, what are they really doing? And, you know, to think of this sort of AI quantum computing technology, this sort of software system, it makes sense with everything that they're doing. You know, the chemtrails, the smart dust, the vaccines, everything that you can think of that we play separately and argue about, you can all merge it into this Jade Helm thing that they seem to be, you know, the HAARP programs, all of this stuff. It's it seems to be, I would say, or the either drawing to an end or they've completed their program. And, you know, it seems...
Who was the guy, Adam, that, remember, he was ex-military with a very high security clearance and they killed him? He did a number of public talks. I can't think of his name, but he said in one of his talks.
Not Phil Schneider, is it?
Bill Snyder.
Oh, that, Phil Snyder. Yeah, yeah. They was Bill, working on the underground tunnels.
He said the military were 50 years ahead.
I'd say more.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because my old man was working. Tell you a true story. He came home around about 1972, 73 with the first ever laptop. It came in one of those old suitcases, I can't remember the name of them, and he opened it up and there was a screen in there. He was working on liquid crystal displays back then, I think for Hewlett-Packard. This was back in the early 70s. So now we've got them all in our pockets. But the thing is, back in the 70s, if you tried to explain to someone what it was, they would have looked at you like you're an idiot. And sort of, you know, so it doesn't surprise me that the military would be at least 50 years ahead of everybody else and everyone else would be kept in the dark and fed mushrooms.
It's we were talking to Kyle Huntgarth about this, about the smart dust, and he was, because I've seen incredible documentaries about this military smart dust, Dave, that these little motes, you know, that they spray in the atmosphere. They go all over the city areas in every nook and cranny. And these little motes can send and receive information wirelessly, so they're getting in everything. And Kyle was talking about that, Garth, you know, that, you know, like, for example, if they're going to put a building up in a vacant lot of land, they can kind of put a 3D image of what they're going to do up there. And that's what they're talking about here, using all these motes. So you tie this into this massive Skynet system, you know, this Jade Helm, where this computer system will be able to track and trace everything that we're doing on the planet in all the cities, and use these modes to send it, to get information, extract information, send information, and as Dave said, put these sort of 3D sort of images up without a computer in front of you. They're talking about in this Jade Helm that they'll be able to sort of create these 3D sort of battlefields, Garth, in war, sort of holographic battlefields in war. And I'd say this is what they'd be using, probably the smart dust in a lot of ways. I'd like to ask you this, Dave, because we're getting a lot of this technology information, say, from the Edward Snowden leaks and WikiLeaks and stuff. And I was talking with John Friend the other week, and we were sort of saying, what do you think about this, you know? Do you think that Edward Snowden is part of this? Do you think that he would really be allowed to release these cables? Have they set Snowden up to be sort of a Robin Hood type character that we, the masses, can look up to as being on our side? But are they just releasing cables to us that blow our minds in regards to the type of software they're using and that they're spying on us? You know, but as Garth just said, are they like 50, maybe more years ahead where this information that Snowden's leaking isn't really important to them anymore? You know, what's your idea on that? Who do you think this guy is? I can't see he would be allowed to get away with it. You know,
they're all valid points. The thing that he walked out with something like 7 hard drives or 7 laptops or something like that full of information. Now, if you're working in a secure facility like that, you're searched on the way in and the way out. So how do you get them out? And... I mean, the points you're saying is that he's just releasing old information that's old to them but new to us. So that could possibly be the case. So, yeah, I've read a lot of valid criticism over Snowden and WikiLeaks, et cetera, and I tend to agree with that point that what's being released now is stuff that they've already had 20, 30 years down the track. Okay. So
keeps us
whether it's valid now or not is sort of beyond the point. Maybe we should be looking a bit further, as you said. So it's just strange that, you know, this guy can actually walk out with all this information and go to another country and then release it. But, you know, is it valid anymore? And that's the main point.
Well, you know, considering they can kill a president of the United States in full view of the country, Snowden wouldn't last a chance if they wanted to really get rid of him.
Yep, and that's a valid point as well. I mean, if they really wanted to get rid of him, they would. You know, an umbrella into the shin in London, one grab a ton. It's just, if they really want to get rid of you, they will. And look at the guy that they poisoned in, was it Romania or it was one of the Yugoslav states? They poisoned off the prime minister. You know, they want to get you, they'll get you. So, again, you've got to ask the question, you know, is the information he is releasing now, is it actually valid for now or was it valid for 30 years ago? So, yeah, good point.
Well, it's all leaks on, Garth, it's all leaks on spying and everything. And we talked with John about that. He's saying, you know, do you think that, are they really spying on us or they're just making us paranoid? But I tend to think it's beyond spying, Dave. I think that they're so far ahead that, you know, we're getting this Snowden information, and as you just said, it's blowing our minds. You know, they're watching us in real time, our text messages, you know, what we're doing online, and you know, the old George Orwell 1984 sort of scenario with the cameras in every bush and cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at smart dust, you know, this is a whole new thing. But looking at this Jade Helm, some notes I took. Looking at the Skynet, which some people might think is silly, but this was from the Terminator movies, Dave. Skynet is a fictional, self-aware, artificial, general intelligence sort of system which features centrally in the Terminator franchise, as we know. And so it's quite... when I watched a few of these films about these AI quantum computing technology software, and as I said at the start, it makes a lot of sense, and it seems to be... gathering this information from all of us all over the planet to create this human terrain system, as the lady explained, Garth, sort of a global information grid. And, you know, and this can also eliminate targets. It's saying that...
Well, I found out about that system a few years ago. They were using it in Afghanistan. Basically, they're working off a hologram in front of them, and they can use it to send out a drone. Which is what they've been doing.
And the system's running the show, Dave, not the sort of generals. It's running the show. That's what they're saying.
Yep.
The big thing, you mentioned 1984, and this is when you look at George Orwell, well, he was an insider. There's no two ways about it. So they were working on it then. That was in the 1950s.
Yep.
So he certainly. I mean, the human species can't create something out of nothing. And, you know, a lot of these writers and these people, particularly in Hollywood, that dream up these movies, particularly these space movies and that, there's no doubt in my mind, or I feel anyway, it's a gut feeling, but I think I'm pretty right, that these people are insiders as well, many of them.
Quite possibly. Hollywood, definitely.
Oh, for sure. Oh, my God, Minority Report, Garth, Tom Cruise. Watch that movie, Dave, if you haven't seen it.
I have seen it, actually.
It's pre-crime. So, you know, they're saying this Jade Helm system, Dave, it determines behavioural perimeters for norms. So it can identify a target and threats from the norms, all the information gathered on all of us. So it can actually, it can predict wars,
everything.
So
if you think about thought, it's going to come out and drone you.
Yeah, exactly. Like that's what it sort of is. It's if the system thinks that you're a threat, and it will target sort of patriots, especially with, you know, patriot gun owners in the United States. This is where it's all happening. If this system deems you as a threat, you're not going to get any help from the government or the police. You've been targeted for termination, probably.
Exactly.
Well, there's no enmity. There's no enmity
there's
with
no
computers. It's zeros and ones.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
You're done.
Yeah, binary code. Death by binary.
That's right. And if the computer says that you've been you've been sort of working against the government, Big Brother. You know, terminate. There's no court case.
The mainstream media can't hire will be a left lawyer. Alone.
Up an anti-Abbott meme on Facebook, and next thing you get a knock at the door. So
it's in there as well, Dave. Of course, wouldn't it? It'd be all through
it's everywhere.
When you're using Facebook, when you're online, it will be monitoring you and tracking you and making a little file about you. So when you do things and say things, it's on to you.
I started thinking about this in the 90s when they said that they were going to spray car parts with microdots. Now, to stop the illegal trading car parts. And I thought, microdots, what are these? And that's when I started looking into it. So if they're spraying car parts, what else are they spraying? You don't know. I've heard computer technicians talking about what's actually in the computers. Foxtel systems that have cameras.
Hardwired.
Xboxes that have cameras. They're all hardwired. And if you try and take it out, you disable the whole unit. Any car built after 2004 apparently can listen to you, record conversations, et cetera, et cetera. It's just mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling. And just trying to explain it to Mr. and Mrs. Joe Average, they think you're paranoid or, you're up there with the tinfoil hatters. But
well, that's
this
right,
stuff
because
is...
just recently I was talking to a politically correct person and they said, well, there's so much crap on the internet. And I said, well, look, there's so much crap in the newspapers and TV as well as coming from the government. So it's up to us as individuals to, go figure that out. Because there is so much. What you're saying here is...
That's right, Garth. Yeah, we could be wrong. I mean, but what can we do? We can only... I mean, I heard about this Jade Helm exercise, and it makes sense. Because if you look back, it does seem like they have been gathering massive amounts of information. On all of us, system going on here. So what's that being done for?
Well, they can bend light. They can make soldiers become invisible by bending the light.
Yeah, I've seen that footage. Have you seen that from Afghanistan? I think it was about 2008.
Yes.
There's a YouTube one of a guy just suddenly appears out of nowhere and climbs onto a tank.
Yeah.
They've been talking about making invisible clothing for years, and everyone goes, oh, yeah, no worries. But, geez, they would have had it years ago. So
yes.
What's the go there? That was incredible footage.
You feel like if they're telling you now, Dave, they've already had it for a while. They're just letting you know now,
Yeah.
Well, I figure that what they're doing is that why, Dave, you were complaining about your computer. But, see, to me, as I see it anyway, they're allowing us a little bit of this technology each time because the same people who run these massive corporations are tied up with the military.
Yep.
So they're so far ahead of us, it doesn't matter to them. So they give us a little bit every year, and you've virtually got to update every couple of years to stay in line with everything.
They can't bring in too much.
So they're making money out of us, more money, so that they can keep running this bloody military, and it gets bigger and bigger. And what for? Who's the enemy?
The conflict that's coming up. The conflict that's coming up, I can feel it coming up now.
Mm.
It'll be between BRICS and NATO. You can see the three major flashpots of heating up being the Ukraine, the South China Sea, and the Middle East. So I can see it all happening. And as soon as BRICS brings in, which is going to, I think it's around about September this year, I think they're going to start their opposition to the World Bank and IMF. Now, that equals money, and that means they'll go to war.
Tell us about both sides know it.
Yep. And both sides know it, and they're gearing up for it right now.
Tell us about BRICS a little bit, Dave, just for BRICS, people listening who mightn't know too much about it. I've had a little bit of a look into this. Interesting.
It is very interesting that the World Bank and IMF are basically just financial thugs. They go into these countries, take them over, give them money that they can't afford to pay, Greece, et cetera. Forced loans upon them. They're like the mafia. And so these countries have banded together to form an opposition to the World Bank and IMF called BRICS, which it stands for, anyone wants to Google it, BRIICS. It's Brazil, Russia, India, Iran, China, and South Africa. And they're the major countries that have banded together. But I've heard there's something like 130 different countries that have jumped and signed on board BRICS. So what they're going to do is form their own central bank with a starting point of $100 billion to go into opposition against the IMF. Now, what this will do is effectively countries like China and Russia will be able to trade their own gold-backed currencies against the American dollar, meaning that the American dollar, not being gold-backed since 1973, will crash. So this is why I can feel the conflict is going to come on, because at this point in time, if you've got to buy oil, you have to go through OPEC. In order to buy the oil, you have to exchange into American dollars, known as the petrodollar. If that falls apart, that will decimate nearly every Western currency, you know, Australia included, the pound, not the pound sterling, though, because it's backed by silver. But it's very complex and takes a lot of time to go through, but that's what the conflict will be about. It will eventually be about money.
So the other side, that means that the bankers, which are the, well, basically the Rothschilds and the Schiffs and all these massively wealthy families that have been around for centuries, you know, as we've seen, I mean, they've created wars. They created World War One, World War Two, et cetera, et cetera. So these are the people that are going to create what, another war?
Basically, yeah. But I'd say, but they've been playing both sides and swapping it. The American dollar, Western countries no longer manufacture anything. We're unproductive. All we are is trades and services. So when you look at rising countries like China and India, for example, cheap labor, heaps of production, et cetera, you'll find the banks will just move. They'll just move to the BRICS and sign up with them. So, you know, a very interesting point is one of the side shifts off BRICS is the Asia Investment Infrastructure Bank, which Australia has signed up for, which I found to be quite strange. And it's got a starting point of something like $50 billion. And why Australia signed up for it, I don't know. So that's what makes me think that these bankers, the people that actually run the money in the economy, are just swapping camps. So they could be set that they could have helped set BRICS up, as if to say, these countries are non-productive anymore. We'll move to your countries because you've got cheap labour, and start all over again. And then we'll have a conflict and the Western countries will all be decimated and they'll start all over again. So
it won't actually be a war. It'll be a war of money, which
financial
is
war. Mm.
Yeah, which yeah, is financial. People, which is energy, yep. Which is going to affect a lot of people.
Yeah,
yep.
Probably worse
than any war.
Yeah, yeah. I can hear the word depopulation coming up too. So a lot of people think that that's what it's all about. There's too many people in the world, so
especially with our modern lifestyle, Dave. You know what we're used to. You know, like comfortable home, nice TV, car. People just aren't used to that in this country. And, you know, something like that where the rug just gets pulled out from under your feet and you have nothing, you know, that is a war because everything's taken from you. As a human being, you're going to have nothing to fall back on. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a war because I was just recently reading an article, particularly in America, where they were saying that there is a war against people who want to drop out of the matrix sort of thing and do their own thing. Well, the government is creating more and more laws to keep them within the confines of the government.
Like
because
not
they
growing
need...
your own food, et cetera. Yeah,
that's right. They don't want them to do that because they're getting desperate for the money.
Yeah.
Well, you know, has World War III
And it's only the people that create the money.
Has it already started, Garth, World War III? Is World War III a war on the people?
Adam, we're halfway through it, mate. Yeah. I mean, you know, Second World War really did start in 1933, not 39. Yeah. It's only the shooting that started in 39. So you sit down and think about it. A war takes something like 7 or 8 years, you know, to cultivate. So we're halfway through it. We're just waiting for the shooting to start.
There's also a war on the human immune system as well.
I know that. Yep.
So it's all part of this. You know, it's quite frightening and staggering when you look at it. But I got news today, Dave, this is from the Telegraph about the headline is the really worrying financial crisis is happening in China, not Greece. They're saying China looks like it's heading for its version of the 1929 stock market crash.
Stock market crash. So, yeah, well,
it's happening there.
They suspended 46% of the trading companies yesterday. So I don't know what's happening with China. It looks like it's a bubble, and it might burst, and that might put them into a warring situation as well. Because, I mean, you look at China's infrastructure and the way that they built these ghost cities. They're just sitting there with, you know,
no one there.
You know,
and they haven't spared anything, have they? With those cities, they're full cities with suburbs and driveways and houses, and it's unbelievable. Grass, everything. But
everything's there except people.
So weird.
I mean, they've been sitting on a bubble for a long time as well. So, I mean, all the economies basically run the same way, don't they? It's all about making money, profit. And then when the profit stops, the building stops. And I've experienced this in Northern Ireland, where you'd see these huge tower blocks surrounded in growing grass and broken windows and scaffolding still around them because they've just literally walked off. And that's, I think that's what's going to happen in China as well. There's too many people have put too much money into it. Whether it's the I don't think it's the Chinese that have put so much into it, but other countries have had vested interests in or individuals anyway.
Well, we're seeing a lot of Chinese money coming into Australia, Dave.
Oh, they're buying everything.
Yeah.
But where are they starting to panic?
I don't know about panic. I don't know about the ordinary Chinese person panicking at the moment.
No. Well, there's plenty of money. You know, they're talking about feeding China.
That was a show the other night on Channel 7. The mainstream media actually reported on it, Dave, showing the massive Chinese takeover of our land, our farming land, our food. Absolutely ginormous, taking all our growing and productive land, especially dairy and for cattle, just basically saying on our national television that it's to 100% to feed them, that they need to feed their own people. But what about us? I mean,
what about us?
This is staggering.
Don't worry about us.
Staggering.
Tell you what's going to happen. The Chinese are going to buy a lot of stuff because they need the food growing. They need a lot of land, and they need to grow food for their people. So that's what they're looking at over here. Now, under the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a whole different ballgame, they're going to be importing Chinese workers to work on the land.
Yeah.
Now, what they
work for nothing.
If we end up in a warlike situation with China, for instance, just Australia on its own, all they have to do is stop the boats. The ones carrying all the food into the country. We export 90% of our energy from overseas, 91% actually. So all they have to do is stop the boats. Within 3 months, we'll be eating each other. The Chinese will walk in and implement it anyway. It's a scary scenario. We're an island in the middle of nowhere, and if the Chinese want us, they're going to get us. So maybe governments know about this. I don't know.
Of course they know about it
because I remember my dear old mum talking many, many years ago that when we were on the sheep's back and Australia was sort of developing and growing, all our wool went overseas and they made it into garments and sold them back to us.
Yep.
The same thing's happening today.
Yeah, but all we're selling at the moment is coal and iron ore.
Yeah, but I mean, it's the same thing as wool. I mean, they're selling it back to us and costing us a bloody fortune. I mean, I remember not so long ago when I was building this house that the cost of a lineal meter of roofing, that's custom orb roofing, went up from $12 to $24. And I knew a guy in the metal industry, and he said it's because the local companies don't give a damn about the local market because China's taking everything.
Yep. Yep,
so exactly. Here we are in this country, and these politicians must know that. I mean, I haven't been to university, but I've got a little bit of a brain, and nobody can tell me that these bloody politicians don't know what's going on.
No, they know God's exactly sakes. What's going on.
It's right in front of your face.
Yep.
And yet they allow it. They allow it, and it's the same with everything. They're controlled from overseas. I was talking to a guy this morning, and he said, you can see the fear in these guys' eyes.
Yeah.
He said stood over, they're frightened. And even old Clinton said he thought when he became the President of the United States, he could do what he liked. Well, he certainly did most of what he liked, but he said he's not the boss. And Clinton admitted that. But these guys in Australia won't admit that. They carry on with this crap instead of standing out and saying, well, listen, you know, it's not my deal. I can't do a thing, fellas. Well, are you going to tell us that? No.
That doesn't matter, Garth. It doesn't matter that our country's being raped. All that matters, none of this matters, Dave, what we're talking about today. None of it matters. The only thing that matters is gay marriage, isn't it? that guys can stick their cocks up each other's asses. That's what matters, you know. That's the most important subject now, Garth. So get with it, mate. Come on.
I've got nothing against. Look, actually, I believe that gays have the equal right to be just as miserable in marriage as a heterosexual couple. So I couldn't give a fig about it, to be honest, but geez, talk about a massive distraction.
Massive push, it's a distraction as well, Dave. You're right. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that's what it is. But there's an agenda behind it. I mean, especially when you look at Hollywood, there's been this gay agenda for a long, long time. You know, if gays want to go and get married or whatever, I don't really care, but it's the agenda behind it to get the war on the family issue. You know?
Why is it a political issue? Why has it got anything to do with us?
It's distraction, Garth. It's distraction. Something big's going on behind all our backs while we're just constantly distracted with all these shootings and things, you know?
Look over there.
Yeah. And I'd say it's this technology. It's nearly, I'd say, close to more than over 50 years. I think that we're in lockdown. I think the lockdown is starting now of the entire plan. I think America's in the firing line. I really worry about that now.
If America goes down, we go down.
You probably saw in that video, Dave, and I've seen many times. I know you've seen it, Dave, with the massive FEMA camps in the United States, and of course you're a conspiracy theorist and these kind of casket liners and all this stuff going on there. But you can see people filming in the United States on the train lines, just these trains coming in that go on forever, bringing in
this armory
and tanks and trucks. And it's, where's it all going and what are they planning? What's going on? I mean, you'd have to be an idiot not to see that they're planning something big in the United States.
It's not that they're planning, but they're preparing.
They're preparing.
And what it is, it's going to be go back to this BRICS trading in their own currencies rather than the American dollar. The American dollar will fall. And the last thing the American government wants to see is AR-15s down Wall Street. So that's why they want to disarm them. They know the crash is coming. It's every country has a bubble. Even Australia has a bubble.
Well, America's probably the most in debt, or would be the most in debt country in the world. They can't pay off their debt. Yeah. And even professionals now, like very high profile people, Garth, are saying that it can't withstand much longer. The American dollar is definitely, certainly going to collapse, which is staggering. Because you look at Greece, Dave. I mean, look at what Greece has done.
As Dave mentioned earlier, yeah.
Imagine America's economy completely collapsing, what that would mean for us, you know?
Yep.
And that would bring civil unrest and, you know, and the Americans are armed to the teeth. So, you know, you could be right, Dave. We're looking at mass gun confiscation, a civil war on the streets of the United States.
Yep. And probably Australia as well. And this is what I'm saying. As soon as that's why there's going to be a war. They've got to fight against BRICS NATO versus BRICS until, you know, NATO wears itself out. I mean, NATO, the countries that make up NATO effectively know that they're on a suicide watch. So they're just going to battle it out anyway. You know, and the companies that make ammunition and armory and guns, et cetera, or any sort of weapons are going to make a lot of money out of it, and everything will settle down and you'll find the whole of the world has been turned upside down. Whereas these countries like China and India will be the massive, you know, world leaders, and America, Australia, and Europe will sort of be like, you know, gone back to the Stone Age. We don't know. I can't see that far ahead, but I can feel it coming on, and it's not too far off either. So it'll be a major conflict. It'll be over money, and a lot of people are just going to be wiped off the face of the earth.
And as we said before,
I've just definitely got to agree with you, Dave. I've always believed that it's money that is the whole essence of what's happening, because when these minority groups control the energy of the mass, and the energy of the mass is what creates value, creates money.
Yep.
And they take that and they turn it into other things, like they've turned it into the military, where the military is not there to protect the people, it's there to protect the assets of these minority.
Yeah, like you see SAS guards in the middle of poppy fields in Afghanistan. You know.
Yeah.
let's protect the assets. You know, it's funny that there's talk about a pipeline running from Iraq through to, I think it's the port of Haifa near Israel. And along that pipeline, you've got three or four different U.S. military camps to protect the pipeline.
Yeah.
Talk about protecting the assets.
Of Israel, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We won't start on that at the moment.
I can't see them falling.
That's what it's all about, because, you know, we're being fooled. We're being conned. We think our military is there to protect us. It's not. People have got to wake up. It's there to protect the assets of the corporations. Mm. That's it. Finished. Because most of our law is under commercial law, which is admiralty law.
Yep.
That's it. Finished. End of story.
Yep.
You know, and we think we're going to get a fair go in a court of law. You're joking, mate. Depends on how much you got money in your pocket to pay the bloody barrister.
Yep, there's two Commonwealths of Australia, and unfortunately we're under the corporate one. So, any, like, as you said, admiralty law, it's very complex. The general person doesn't understand it. I've actually read it, and it's head-twisting stuff. But once you get the gist of it, you understand that you really don't have any rights whatsoever.
None.
You know, doesn't matter what you do, you're gonna end up on the back face of it anyway. So yeah, admiralty law plays a big part of it, but also people are living under this illusion that they're free. We're not free. You know, once you register something with a corporation, it's their asset. What do you do when you're born? You register your child. You register your dog. You register your car. You register your house. You register all these things, and you don't understand that you're actually giving your rights to those things over to the corporation, which is known as the Commonwealth of Australia.
Plus your child's blood, Dave. Your child's blood gets taken and put into a data center, you know, when it's born.
I know. It's just amazing. And people don't understand this. So, as we said before, if something happens,
particularly in Australia, what are people going to do, Dave?
Shoot rabbits.
Yeah, but it seems that as you talk about this collapse, Dave...
I've already been through that. Yeah. After World War II, that's what we used to put on the table. We'd go rabbit trapping.
We may survive, Dave. We may survive in Australia. We have a good country here, but it's just the lifestyle, Dave. I don't mean to pick on anyone, but, you know, it's a bit of a worry. But would you agree, Dave, that as this system kind of looks like it's crumbling around us and people aren't paying attention to it because they're being constantly diverted? And you've got the psyops and the shootings and all this stuff going on and the Pope and all this, but plus the TV and the sports and everything. It seems like the people running this planet, whatever they are, uses a lot of energy to keep us constantly diverted.
Circus, mate.
Yeah, just keep us in this constant circus.
Keep them fed and keep them entertained. Entertained. You know, I think the Caesar that came up with that.
It's incredible.
Look, the one that gets me is the Lindt Cafe siege here in Sydney. That just topped it all off. That was just the most amazing quick look here, and played wonderfully. It's almost like they threw a gun and a flag at him and pushed him in there and said, "Do it."
They must think we're incredibly stupid to pull something off, you know, something like that off.
And then we got this multi-million-dollar terrorist squad sitting all in their van waiting for a phone call, and the local cops take it on.
Plus the drill in the same cafe a year before.
Oh, exactly, yeah. The year before, it was a drill in the same cafe, so they had it all rehearsed. They knew exactly what they were doing. Abbott played it beautifully. Murdoch played it beautifully. For the first time in decades, he put out a second Daily Telegraph in one day, claiming that ISIS had taken over Australia. Now everyone's gone absolutely mad, hating Muslims. It's unbelievable. There's people that want to kill 1.6 billion Muslims, just wipe them off the face of the earth.
Diversion.
Because of the false flag set up down here in Sydney, which the cops shot innocent people anyway. The whole thing is just, if it wasn't so serious, it'd be like the Keystone Cops. They wouldn't shoot the guy through the glass windows because they said the bullet might refract and hit somebody innocent. Well, they shot innocent people anyway. Not only that, a basketballer on an ice bender goes and throws rocks through the window a few months later. So that blows that argument out. And then you've got the usual misinformation, disinformation. Did he have a gun license? The AFP say no. The government say yes. So then again, why was this guy on bail? You've got to remember this guy that took over the cafe, he was on bail for, killing his ex-wife. Something to do with killing his ex-wife after the fact, I think it was, accessory after the fact. And on something like 46 separate sexual offences, and he still got bail, even though the police stood up and said, no, don't give this guy bail, he still got it. Now, there's a massive undercover cover-up going on in this, and a lot of it's got to do with the letter that was sent to the Attorney General, George Brandis, which was not presented to the inquiry, simply because someone missed it on a tab on a computer setup. All this sort of stuff is going on. Now, what was his name? Alex Mitchell. Alex Mitchell wrote in the Echonet Daily about the fact that this Mon Monis had been loaned to the Middle Eastern crime unit of the police in order to infiltrate the rebels' bike club. He was an asset. He was an ASIO asset, or ASIO thought he was an asset. He was actually diagnosed schizophrenic. I mean, the guy was just a loose cannon, and they were waiting for him to go off, and they knew what they were going to do with him. So I find the whole thing a massive false flag, all of it. And I think the inquiry, especially held behind closed doors, just speaks volumes.
Yes, yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's just one of those situations, the biggest situation in Australia since the bombing of the Hilton Hotel in 1978. So, which again was another.
I think Port Arthur was.
But this Link Cafe was comical.
Port
though.
Arthur was,
Port Arthur was more different, Garth, but this Link Cafe, it was like a terror police raid on faulty towers.
It was
ridiculous.
It was, like I said, if it wasn't so serious and people hadn't been killed.
With the flag in the window, Dave, and it didn't even look like the guy they said it was, but it was in there.
It wasn't even an ISIS flag.
But was it the same guy in there? Because in the photo that the papers released, it looked like a different guy in there.
Now, there's a good point, and I want to point something out. There were two written statements by eyewitnesses that I found. One was in the UK Daily Mail online, and they said he was accompanied by one or two similar-dressed people. Now,
doubles.
This, yeah. Well, we don't know who was in that cafe. I mean, they could have tied Monis to an engine block and dumped him out in Sydney Harbour and put someone else in there. You don't know. And this is the thing with these false flags, is that they're so muddy and so murky that you can't get A or B out of them.
Do you think the people in there were actors or a mix?
I don't believe so.
You think they actually were caught up in there? Because when you saw some of them running, they were kind of laughing, and I saw when they were laying all the flowers. You can still watch it on YouTube, and there's a sort of a hippie-looking guy. I think his daughter died in there, and he didn't look very upset at all. He looked like a method actor to me. You know?
I've seen the method actors. I mean,
very strange. So if people died, if people died in there, then why would they have actors? In the weeks after mourning their loved ones. You know,
yeah.
I mean, how do we know what's what? It's really a lot of smoke and mirrors going on there.
Well, it's happening in America. It's been happening
all the time. Yeah, because the people who are committing these acts make movies, Garth. That's what they do so well. But it's a real slide of the hand, isn't it, Dave? It's a real trick of the eye. They get you quickly looking here and then that, and then on the news they make it look all glossy, you know?
Okay, well, let's take the two situations, Link Cafe siege, right, and take that church shooting in, where was it, Missouri?
Charleston, yeah.
Charleston, Mississippi, sorry. The Link Cafe opened up, I think it was 3 months later after the shooting, correct? Well, this church opened up, what was it, 48 hours afterwards. The shooting was on the Friday, and they were letting people in on the Sunday. You mean they got all the blood scraped up, they pulled all the bullets out of the walls, you know, plastered it all up and painted it and got it all nice and clean, ready for the people to turn up without any, you know, there was no, where was the investigation team?
Where's the proof?
You know, where's the proof?
Where's the absolute proof? The investigation.
It's in the media.
Where are we being shown?
It's in the
shown?
Media.
Yeah, the media just tells you. That's the power they have. Yeah.
We got shown the nine black people that were shot on the TV. These lovely, happy Facebook shots of these people. You know, did they actually exist? Who are these people?
What about the shots of Dylan Storm, Dave? You know, the perfect shots of him on the beach and with the flowers and posing with the Beatles sunglasses, with his gun.
The Confederate flag, and he's always got the same hairstyle and the same look on his face. It's like they're all taken in the same day. And who was taking the photos?
Exactly.
You know? Not like he's got a selfie stick. The whole thing just stinks. I mean, both the Link Cafe siege and the shooting in that church, both of them just stink. And, you know, this is what we're being distracted with. And this is, it inflames people's emotions. And that's what it does. And it's you're so caught up in your emotions that you can't, emotions, it's very hard to have any critical thinking when you're caught up in emotions.
Well, it's the same as drowning, Dave.
Hey?
Same as drowning.
Yeah.
You know, when you're drowning, if you're not thinking and you're panicking, you're sucking in water, you're going to die, you know?
Yep.
But this is blurred lines, isn't it? We talk about this a lot, that the human population has been shown so many movies that when they have these acts, it blurs the lines. And
it's like in Clockwork Orange, and they're holding your eyes open and making you watch all these.
Yeah, what's real, what's not? What am I seeing? And you know, the people are so used to seeing this, and you know, as well as you know, instilling constant fear in the world's population. You know.
Yep. You know. Now we've got to stop buying halal goods. You know, because of the Lin Cafe siege. You know, no, don't worry that you know, above the little halal symbol is a K for kosher, which is exactly the same bloody thing that's been going on for decades. But, you know, I mean, really, the halal thing comes from the bloody Bible. It's in Leviticus chapter 4 and chapter 5. You know, when they created Islam, they took a whole mass of the Bible and created it with it. Where did the Bible come from? Come from bloody the Jewish thing. So the halal thing translates into Christianity, which translates back into kosher. And people don't understand this. When you explain it to them, they sort of think you're either being a smart ass or you're off the planet. And you say, well, yeah, you're a terrorist. You're supporting terrorism. You're buying Vegemite, which has got a halal symbol on it, so you're supporting terrorism. We're actually going to have an inquiry into that. I can't believe it. You try and transfer $10,000 interstate and see how much trouble you get.
Distraction.
Yeah,
constant,
just
more isn't
mass
it?
Distraction.
And we just bicker and argue with one another. And as I said, this whole machine is being built around us, and we're just not looking at it.
And now you've got this thing called the United Patriotics Front, which is being built up in here in Australia. And I got sent a video of it the other day. And it's a guy riding down a footpath in a Harley with Australian flags coming off it, and people running down the street behind him. Join us now. It's like Hitler's brown shirts all over again. So I can see there's going to be. It's just being fermented. This is being fueled, you know, by Murdoch media and by the Abbott government in this country in order to, you know, keep us distracted some more and to keep us fighting against each other, divide and conquer, ruling again. I can see all this building up, all of it, and it's quite terrifying, actually.
Especially with the open borders in the United States, the mass immigration from these lands, and then the mixing in of, you know, they're saying now, you know, thousands and thousands of terrorists are coming into Europe, you know, spooking the European people as they get brought down through mass immigration and assimilation. And so nobody knows what's what, who's who. No one trusts in each other. And now even worse, on the streets of America, we have this hatred of black and white and black and black, mainly black on white attacks. You know, but you don't hear about that in the media. But when a black gets attacked, it's all over the world media. But the point is this, that we found out, Dave, these riots in Ferguson was being funded by George Soros, a Zionist Jew, millionaire, you know, funding these groups going in there. It's crazy. And now the worst thing that Americans need now is fighting each other. You know, it's just going to be
a disaster. It's not just the blacks fighting the whites and the heterosexuals fighting the gays. It's the man fighting the woman as well. Now, how much of the media has been played up with domestic violence against women? Okay, now, all domestic violence is horrible. I hate it. You know, I grew up with it as a kid. I despise it. But the fact is, it's being pushed. The agenda is being pushed.
Yeah.
Now, a friend of mine lost his friend down in Tasmania after his wife shot him dead and then shot herself. Did you get that on the news? No, but you'll hear every case of a woman being killed. There's 16 women being killed this year so far, is what they're saying. How many men have been killed? We don't hear. The article that I'm referring to, the incident down in Tasmania, only made the ABC News and just on its website. It didn't even make the mainstream news. So this tells me that there's an agenda of pitting men against women, which... It sounds far-fetched, but I can see right through
it. No, I agree. I agree totally.
Yep. So it's not just black versus white, Christian versus Muslim. They're pitting everybody against everybody else, you know. And these corporately sponsored think tanks are putting through the policies to put this in place, and the media are backing them up. So, I mean, you go through any newspaper, any website, and it's all about domestic violence. We've got to stop the domestic violence on women. How about we just stop the domestic violence, full stop, you know?
Well, right. But, I mean, you read some of the crap that comes out through the women's magazines particularly and some of the women's liberation groups as regards men. I mean, some of the stuff is shocking.
It's emasculating, isn't it?
It's a war on the male.
It's not about empowering the female. It's about depowering the male.
Yeah. You cutting off his penis.
instead of having a level across the board, we're now pitted against, you know, every man's a wife basher.
demonized.
Considering the statistically, I mean, women kill more children than men, so their own children. Yet you can't bring that up. You're considered sexist. But the thing is that men are being continuously, what would you say, targeted as being this evil race of this evil sex. Which is nothing but bad.
If you ride a motorbike now, Dave, with a leather jacket on, you're a demon.
I know, mate.
You're a rapist, you're a child molester, you're evil. You need to be arrested because you're going out on the weekend riding your motorbike with a few mates.
Yeah, don't put any tattoos on, for God's sakes.
Yeah, so you can see what they're doing to the biker gangs. You can see it's merging. It's incremental. It's not just them. It's everybody. Yeah, it's everybody. Slow.
You, me, and Garth could be considered a conspiracy, and we could be forced
If it's the bikies, then it's going to be us, and it's going to be everybody. Who's going to be targeted,
And it's happened before. Joe Bjelke-Petersen's Queensland back in the early 1980s. Any more than three people on the street corner was considered a protest and you were arrested.
Yeah, yes, I remember that.
You know, it's happened before. And you know,
Mr. Police.
Don't start me on Bjelke-Petersen. Don't you worry about that, he would say. Don't you worry about that.
When he got caught with his $40,000 in the brown paper bag, that's what he said. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, look the other way. Right.
Yeah, look the other way.
I think that was the invention of the brown paper bag, with the money.
But that's also his invention of the his introduction of martial law, which is why the laws were passed so easily in Queensland. It was because the legislation was already there.
Yes. So that's what he was doing. He was trying to.
That's what Campbell Newman was operating on.
Joe only had less than 20% of the vote, and yet stayed in there for so many years.
Yeah, he managed to manipulate the what they call it, gerrymander.
Yes, he certainly did.
He went around and scooped up other people's votes.
And when the people started to rise up against it, he brought the police in.
Yep.
Well, that's the police state.
Yep, exactly. So you take what happened in the early 1980s and implant it now, and it'll be a much broader policy. So Campbell Newman and the bikies was probably just a test case to see how far it runs. And because the New South Wales police have been looking at it, Victorian police have been looking at it, South Australia, they've all been looking at the same laws. So we got to understand that the laws that are put in place against terrorists, bikies, et cetera, can be used on normal people as well. And this is why I campaign so hard for people to wake up and understand that these laws, even the terrorism laws, can be used against us. You know, consorting laws, conspiring laws, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, martial law has been implemented in Australia since 2000 and not many people know about it at a federal government level. The only person that jumped up and down about it was Bob Brown from the Greens. And it was put in 2000, long before the 2001 terror attacks. So we got to understand that, you know, they are ahead of us and what's going on.
People don't understand, Dave. I mean,
no, they don't.
Always get up in the mornings and you see these fake, they look very fake raids on so-called terrorist houses in the West Sydney western suburbs.
Yep.
And they say because of this happening in Melbourne and stuff, we got these, Australia announcing these new counter-terror measures to combat ISIS. I put this up on our site. And people are, well, whatever, and they go on with their day. Well, these are new counter-terrorism measures. And from what I've read here, it allows ASIO the ability to spy on every single Australian, on everything we do, every phone call, our internet movements, absolutely everything. And this was brought in
by
Abbott. Now they're just telling
us they're doing it.
Yeah, this was a summit, and
they're just making it legal.
It's legal now, but I'm just saying that nobody really cares about it. It just went under the radar, and I dug up the story again, sort of started looking through it, and it's when you look at this, I actually got the actual bill, and it's quite staggering, really, Dave. It's quite frightening, as you said, to associate with bikies or anything like this. They've really gone extreme on this, and most Australians don't even know what the bill is.
No, they got no idea. They just read about it in the Daily Telegraph and they think, oh, yeah, there's a little section on page 38 says we're going to introduce new anti-terror laws. And you think, you know, now they've got the Australian public hating Muslims, so anything that's going to go against Muslims, of course, all Muslims are terrorists, aren't they? Don't worry about the IRA and the Red Brigade. They've got this divide and conquer thinking, you know, good, well, anything that stops terrorism is going to be good. So, you know, I keep trying to wake people up.
it's the all important thing that our government is protecting us.
Yeah,
I mean, have a look at, go back to the Hilton bombing.
Yep.
I mean, what a farce that was.
It wasn't a lot of people don't even remember it now, which is a shame because, you know, it was set up primarily to benefit ASIO. And, you know, and who do they blame for it? A bunch of yoga people. Everyone turns around and hates these people that are into yoga and meditation. You know, these three guys spent 10 years in and out of jail and court systems just to be finally vindicated, you know, after 10 years when everyone forgot about it. So it was, you know, the Anandamarga sect. I remember seeing the graffiti all over the place, you know, free the Anandamarga and free the Yagoon 3. And, you know, funny, these people are framed, like the IRA people are framed. Well, they called the something 4 and the something 6, and they end up with these names, and they get thrown into jail, and then 20 years later they get kicked out with no conviction against them. It's unbelievable.
It's frightening what they're allowed to get away with. As I said before, how do we know these so-called terror raids are even real?
I'll tell you one that stings.
From the Sydney Morning Herald, here we have again, terror laws clear Senate enabling entire Australian web to be monitored and whistleblowers to be jailed.
Yep.
These are new Australian terror laws.
Yeah, and there's that 17-year-old boy that was raided down in Melbourne. Massive terror raid, and they found a pipe bomb, apparently.
That's right.
Now, this is a 17-year-old boy without a job, no money, that everyone who was named in any of the reports, and I scoured a lot of media to get to the bottom of this, anyone that was named, who gave their name, said he was a good kid, and he'd never been radicalized, et cetera, then unknown people who wouldn't give their name or did not want to be quoted or did want not to be identified, say, oh, he'd been radicalized in the past couple of months and he was going to grow a beard and all this sort of stuff. And it's like pitting one set of information against another. Then the media couldn't go down and take photos of the pipe bomb, but all of a sudden there's a photo of a pipe bomb. How does this kid make a pipe bomb? You know, with no money, no car. You got to think seriously. And, you know, they exploded it in a safe location at a local park. Sorry? When did we start doing this? When did we start setting off bombs in local parks? Everyone swallows it. You know, like my father used to say, you know, like with geese, if you shovel something down their throat hard enough, they'll swallow it. And people are just like that.
Well, yeah. I also like the saying, Dave, of the fielder geese, and one of the geese takes off and the whole flock follow, but
flock
not
follows.
One of them know why they took off in the first place, only the first
like
one.
Like lemmings going off a cliff.
Yeah, they just follow, you know.
And you hear about the 100 cows that threw themselves off a cliff in Arizona or something only a couple of years ago. They all just followed, threw themselves over the cliff.
But and only the first cow knows why it went off in the first place, you know.
Yeah, and it's probably the most stupid one too.
Yeah, the rest of them don't even know why they've followed.
Well, that's the Judah sheep.
Yeah.
Except the Judah sheep gets turned off, so the rest follow. But the interesting side of this conversation is that very little is brought up in this country about what was called the intervention by John Howard when he sent some 600 military and police up there to stop the rape of these young Aboriginal children, and there hasn't been in court yet a conviction.
No, not one. So you've got to question why. Why was that done? There were a lot of things done under the Howard government that I got questions about, you know, not least of all being the weapons of mass destruction that was forced down our throat, the kids overboard, all this sort of stuff. But you've got to understand.
That's still going as well, Dave. I saw on Late Line the other night, I actually recorded it up and I put it up on Facebook. It was showing how the West Australian government, Garth, are expelling communities of Aboriginals from the Kimberley region. They live in these towns, Dave. They're completely happy and healthy. No one wants to leave. And the West Australian government, they're making up lies that the Aboriginal people are raping their kids and they're taking all these drugs.
This is part of this intervention.
There's no proof. Not one speck of proof that those Aboriginal people are raping their kids. And also what we found out on this show, and I put it up on our Facebook page, that the Western Australian government are sterilising young Aboriginal women with patches.
Yeah.
Sterilising Aboriginal women in this country and expelling them from their homes forcefully and lying about them, saying that they're raping each other. This is what the Western Australian government's doing. Criminals.
Indigenous communities, they're pulling the fund. They pull the funding for it first, and then they're going to kick the people out. Now, it's not just a genocide against the Aboriginal people. There's something going on in the middle of Australia.
Absolutely.
There's something that they want, something there's something happening in the middle of Australia. It's been happening for quite some time. All you have to do is mention Pine Gap and Maralinga.
Yeah.
People don't understand what Pine Gap's about. Pine Gap was probably the reason why one of our prime ministers went swimming and never came back. Pine Gap is probably one of the reasons why our government was, the Whitlam government was ousted with the help of Murdoch and the CIA, which is now an open secret. I've seen the documents. Basically kill Whitlam, get him out, because he was going to cut something that was going on in Pine Gap, and they didn't like it, so they falsified the Kemlani loans affair and got him out. So that's very real. There's something going on in the centre of Australia, and they don't want people to know.
They don't want the old Aboriginal there as well. That's pretty clear.
Well, they used to drop bombs on them back in the 40s and the 50s, didn't they? They didn't even worry about them.
While we're on this subject, there's the Strongs, a father and son combination, who are saying that I don't want to change the subject totally, but what they're saying is that the human race came out of Australia. It didn't come out of Africa. But I've read over the years, so many of these sites have been closed down by the government when people have sort of come across these relics and things. Suddenly, there's nothing. That's it. Finished. End of story.
Yep.
So why are they closing them down when we need to know this information? There's got to be something there that's – I'm not saying that it's got to do with what the Strongs are talking about. But is there a link?
Oh, there is,
Scott. Is there a link to what happened in Australia all those – well, millions of years ago.
We keep hearing about Egypt and South America and Central America and all these pyramids and stuff, but the past of Australia is shut off to the whole world, and we're just not finding out. We can't find anything about Australia, what's going on. It's only people like the Strongest Garth.
Yeah, that's right.
We got the Gympie Pyramid, which was handmade back in the 1930s or 1870s or something like that. We can concentrate on that, but if you try and look deeper into any form of look, the truth of the matter, or I feel the truth of the matter, is there was a massive global civilization 10, 12, 15,000 years ago that was wiped out. They don't want us to know this history. For various reasons, you know, they don't want us to know what the story was. You know, the seas of glass in India that indicate, you know, there were nuclear explosions. And if you go back into Indian history and folklore, you know, the flying aircraft that they had, the marmots and things like that. I mean, you find this, I find a lot of this historical information hidden away in things, you know, and they just call it mythology. But it can't be mythology. Mythology's got to come from somewhere. People just can't make this stuff up. So whatever's happening in the in Central Australia, it could be tied in with, you know, how the people were mass-produced here or something. You know, they didn't row here by a canoe. It's as simple as that. You've got to think, you know, what are they trying to cover up? Are they trying to cover up the history and as well, you know, and or? Governments don't go to war for one reason. They go for war for four, five, six different reasons. And the same reason, you know, that what's happening in the indigenous communities or happening in Central Australia is happening for a multitude of reasons. I don't think just one. I think there's probably three or four different reasons why they're getting the people out of there. So who knows? They could be building another Israel. I've had that put at me by an indigenous person as well on Facebook. He believes that the centre of Australia is going to end up looking like Israel. So when Israel is destroyed in the coming war, they've got somewhere to settle. That's his take on it. So it could mean anything. But, I mean, the fact that you've got Pine Gap there is just starters. So why they're getting rid of the Aboriginal people out of the communities is below me, because, you know, it's their bloody land to start off with, you know, in their communities.
Of course, yes. And it goes way back. And, I mean, we're talking 60,000 years here.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, we're not talking how long have we been here? A couple hundred years.
Yep.
For Christ's sakes, you're talking about a people, a race of people who have been here 60,000 years.
Yep.
And that's according to the archaeologists and the paleontologists and all those people that have studied this.
Yep.
I mean, this is incredible, 60,000 years. And, I mean, the Strongs are talking a million.
Yeah. Well, only the other day they uncovered they uncovered something, was it 150 million years old, they believe. I mean, we've all seen the photo of the stone axe, the axe head embedded in the piece of stone that happened to be 300 million years old. You know,
incredible.
They estimated it to be. So we don't know the history of you know, we might once every few thousand years get wiped off the planet and we're up to doing it again. You don't know.
It's yeah.
Yeah, I'll definitely go along with that one.
It's happened before.
It seems that, but you have to bring this technology in, Dave, because it seems as all this comes down around our ears, these companies like Facebook and Google seem to just keep thriving and making billions and billions more. So it looks like, as you were saying, Garth, that Facebook and Google are going to be the new media. And I put a story up from the Sydney Morning Herald, Dave, about they were saying why Facebook wants to get inside your brain. And they're talking here about Facebook's internet.org initiative. Okay, and if you read this, it's very interesting. This saying this project, it aims to bring free limited version of the internet, okay, to the whole world. I mean, you're talking extremely poor people. And so they're saying, never mind food and clean water for these people. Facebook satellites, drones, and laders will soon be beaming this limited interweb into people's third world homes, changing their lives forever. But a very interesting side of this is limited version of the internet. So
what are they going to get? They're going to get force-fed crap again.
It's not the internet that we have now. Yeah, it's a limited version of what they want them to see. And so this
it's a continuation of mainstream media.
But this is total poverty in these countries, but having this technology and this this propaganda, you know.
Keep poor people dumb.
To mold their minds.
Yep. Can't have thinking people in the world. We've got to dumb down all of them. You know, you start with the poor and the ignorant and work your way upwards.
Yeah. Well, that's how Agenda 21 has started in this country.
Yep.
It's absolutely incredible. They started at the council levels.
Yep. And if you go to any council website, even go to the Pittwater one here, you go there and you look at the development applications, and the first thing you'll have is they run by LA21. Mm. And it's, you know, sustainable growth, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much more to Agenda 21.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's a spider web, Dave. It just covers everything. And these people don't know they're doing it. They just get brought up in that system. And that's what they have to study to be in the council. And that's all they know. You can't argue with them. And that's what they implement. But they don't know what they're implementing. They don't know who they're working for because it's just so immense and so big. And they can't see it around them.
The United Nations created it, and it's been just slammed into local council.
Yeah, it's not like the UN ringing them up, you know, someone from the UN saying, you're going to do this. You know, it's just this whole set of standards and laws and rules and regulations that just, as I said, like a spider web, and it just goes everywhere.
What about the trained people they send into the meetings so that they twist the meeting so that the people in the audience who are sort of demanding this and demanding that and jumping up and down, they end up turning the whole thing around so that they think they're getting what they wanted to get, but they're not getting anything. Because of these trained stooges that come in and know how to twist a meeting, which you're talking hundreds of people.
Yep.
And they can actually twist that meeting around to make these people think they're getting what they wanted in the first place, when they're not really getting anything. It's like having a Clayton's, you know.
Yeah. All a big fuss over nothing.
Yeah, it's all a big fuss, but the people walk out and think, oh, well, you know, we've come here and we've done our bit and we've got what we want, but they haven't got anything because these people have twisted it all and convinced them that a few little changes is going to give them what they want, which it doesn't do. And these people are highly trained, and they go to all these council meetings.
Yep. It's like when you go to a real estate auction, you've got two real estate people there in incognito as buyers and keep pumping the price up. The same sort of deal, you know. It's bizarre, but, you know, you couldn't make this stuff up. And trying to wake the average Australian up to it is pointedly hopeless at times. No, the footy's more important. Yeah.
Than forced vaccinations,
yes, I know.
Is that what people want in this country? I don't understand. Is that what Australians want? Forced vaccinations?
Yeah.
Is that what you want?
That's what they want.
Oh, no, you're a conspiracy theorist. It's not forced now. You just lose your payments. No, it's incremental.
Yeah, exactly.
It's coming.
Now, this is a funny little scenario, right? Now, the thing is, no jab, no play. They started that thing off, right?
You can see it, Dave.
If I've got an unvaccinated child, right, and the person next to me has a vaccinated child, why are they scared of playing with my kid? My kid's going to get the, not their kid. But the way it's been put to them is that your kid's going to give my kid something even though it's been vaccinated. So how does that work? And that's the reasoning that's been pushed out. You know, and to be brutally honest, I have seen with my own two eyes a child turn autistic after a vaccination, and I'm still in touch with the parents.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yep.
He's doing well. He's now at TAFE, but he was an absolute nightmare as an autistic child. And it was only after, I think it was the 18-month triple antigen that he had.
Yeah.
Now, you go to any doctor's office, they've got two books. One's called the DSM, and the other one's called the MIMS. Now, the DSM is the diagnostic book, the great big huge volumes, and the MIMS is exactly the same. And the MIMS tells you what is in any – it comes out yearly and tells you about all the products that you know the huge conglomerate pharmaceutical companies make. You've got two sets of one's called indications and the other one's called contraindications. Indications meaning what's good about it, contraindications meaning side effects and what's bad about it. Now, if you go down the contraindications on the triple antigen, the first word that comes up is autism.
Yeah.
And I found this out I spent 4 years in veterinary medicines, and we used to use these books continuously, you know, in order to see what medicines or what cheaper version we could get, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, it's listed on there. So, and people don't get given the leaflet that comes with the vaccine, so they don't know. They don't read the contraindications that have all these things down, like seizures and epileptic fits and all these sorts of things on them. They don't see them. And so the kid gets vaccinated, the parents none the wiser, and next thing you know, look at what happened with the HPV vaccine in the States and all the young girls that have been left paralyzed and with seizures and with epilepsy. And Tony Abbott himself said he wouldn't give it to his daughters. And now he's enforcing vaccination on everybody else.
I just put a story up today, Garth, from the United States, from New York, I think, where children have been given the wrong immunizations, babies, including cervical cancer vaccines at clinics. Double doses. And Dave, I'm the same as you. I'm seeing it now with a couple of families. I won't give any details, but babies that were born healthy and then went home and then were taken back about a week or so later into intensive care. And I'm not asking anything. I'm staying out of it because of reasons, but I'm convinced it's hepatitis B reaction, but I know that some of these kids in particular have gone in for their first six-month rounds, and they've been vomiting ever since, just this pus and phlegm and snot just pouring out of their faces all day. They've been very ill, sunken in eyes, pasty look to them. And it's like you said, this transition into autism almost I'm watching, and it's freaking me out.
Almost overnight. It was almost overnight.
Yeah, and that's only the first round. They're going to get the year round, and then the year and a half, and then the 2 year, and then another one, and then the 3 year. And as you said, there's that transaction into the brain damage. Yeah.
Yep.
With the brain damage.
Dave, what you just said then, could you repeat that, please? About the doctors and the information from the pharmaceuticals, the two sections there. Could you repeat that?
Yep. One's called the DSM or Diagnostic Manual. It changes. Its new one comes out every year. And the other one put out by the pharmaceutical companies or a board representing the pharmaceutical companies is called MIMS, M-I-M-S. And it lists the good and the bad of the products and any other brother products or alternatives. So everything that is ever made and put out in public is inside this MIMS book.
That this should go viral.
It's been around for years. I had the 1984 versions at home up until the early 90s. So it just kept them just for the interest of, you know, having a look. So every doctor's office, you go to every doctor's office, they've got a MIMS and a DSM. So it's all knowledge. It's all there. Why people don't look at it, I don't understand. So it's one of those things that I've known about for quite some time.
Well, this is information that that should be out there.
Oh.
Yeah, but like a lot of other information, it's not going to go anywhere, is
it? I know, but people, I mean, they talk about their doctors as though their bloody doctors are gods.
Yep.
The doctor makes a decision on their children.
Yep.
Which is crazy.
Looks up one book for the diagnostics and then looks up the other book for the medicine. And all doctors work the same way. So, I mean, including psychiatrists, you know, when, don't start me on SSRIs and things like that. And all these people that are being prescribed, you know, antidepressants that kill themselves is another form. You know, it just seems like they're out to kill everyone with anything they possibly can.
And lie about it.
What it is, yeah, and they lie about it.
Absolutely, you know, lie about it.
Yeah,
these trolls keep saying, Dave, mercury isn't in the vaccines. The heavy metals aren't in the vaccines. You know, but we know what the CDC doing, and I got an article here. Mercury has been removed from most types of vaccines. Okay, but they're saying, well, this is from the United States, an estimated 83 million flu vaccine doses for the recent seasonal flu supply, which I'd say we get here, use this heavy metal in the preservatives. Thimerosal. Yeah. Thimerosal.
Yep. And the funny thing is that people go and get the flu vaccine, what's the first thing they get? The flu.
Exactly.
I've said it so many times. It's like, why bother?
I've questioned people, Dave. I actually work with a guy. I told Garth this. I work with
and
a guy.
And they spread it.
Yeah, he's sick with the flu. He said he's never been so sick. And his wife and him are both really sick. And he said he just got the flu shot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, 2 plus 2 equals.
19.
Oh, my God. You know? And I got the same flu because they were spreading it and I was fine in a day.
Yep. Yep, and other people get their shots, they're sick for ages afterwards. I've seen it happen.
It's the next year as well, Dave. They keep getting these weird sort of flus, and it gets worse and gets into their bones, and it rots them from within, and they keep getting this flu vaccine.
Yep, time and time again.
You're a terrorist, Adam. You're a terrorist.
You're on their side, mate. You're on their side.
Yeah, you're a terrorist for saying this. What was her name, that horrible woman from the Telegraph, the terrible telly?
Oh, Claire Harvey.
Claire Harvey, yeah, you're all terrorists if you dare attack vaccines.
Baby killers. And I, as I just stated, this child, Dave, that I've been watching for a while, I won't give any details, that's just been vaccinated again after having a very bad upbringing. We talked last week, Garth, we've talked a lot of weeks about this as well, the breast milk, Dave, when the babies aren't breastfed, and they're bought up on the bottle formula, and they're vaccinated, it's danger, danger, Will Robinson. And I'm seeing this with these child because they were not breastfed, bottle fed, and they had the blotches and the rashes. And they're saying it's from the different formula, so they kept trying different formula, and it just got worse. And then now the six-month injections, going on to the year injections, and you're looking at a very, very sick child in my eyes. And the parents love the child. Of course they do. But they're not seeing this bigger picture.
They're trying to do the best thing for it, but they're not informed.
Yeah, but this child's rotting away in front of their eyes, and they don't see it.
It's very sad, isn't it?
You know, and not being breastfed as well, so you don't get that charge and set the immune system up as well. It's really tragic, and the parents are so brainwashed by the Murdoch media in this country that unhealthy, that healthy, completely normal, unvaccinated kids with not one thing wrong with them are going to spread disease to everybody.
Yeah.
When they're not showing any symptoms of anything, how is that possible? It's ridiculous.
Well, when I was a kid and someone in the neighborhood got measles, I was sent to play with them so that I would get measles and develop an immunity, right? So now there's a vaccination for measles. So what they do is they go and vaccinate people for measles, and what happens? A measles outbreak. Please, logically explain that one. It's happened in America. They said someone's died of measles. Well, yeah, some people do die of things. They die of a whole bunch of things, you know, but to enforce these vaccinations on people for measles and mumps and chickenpox or God knows what else that we used to get naturally when we were kids and form an immunity against, it's actually debilitating someone's immune system, not strengthening it. And you've got to question time and time again, when they go into a certain area and vaccinate people, people come up with the same symptoms of being vaccinated against. I question that. I really do question it, especially the measles thing.
There was an American woman died.
It goes through the muscles. It's not a natural thing, and it's attacking the DNA.
Yeah, well,
that's true. That it's changing the DNA of our immune system, because it's coming. They're injecting all these toxins into the muscles. When you go out and play with someone you just mentioned that had the measles, it's a totally different thing, and your immune system can cope with that.
Yep,
because it builds the strength. When they start injecting this crap into your body with all these so-called, particularly this mercury and things like that, which the human, it's one of the most dangerous poisons to the human biology possible.
Yep.
And they're shoving it into our children.
Yep, we don't know what's in them. We never have.
No, as I said, Dave, we've been saying that, what kind of technology's in them. Just going back, a woman who became the first person to die of measles in the US in 12 years has been vaccinated against the disease, according to the Daily Mail.
There you go.
And so, yeah, there's all this propaganda, Dave, with the Disneyland measles outbreak. You know, you'd think that millions of people were getting the measles and stumbling around on the streets and falling over, and it was spreading.
It was a zombie measles apocalypse.
It was a couple of kids, you know. But interestingly, that measles outbreak in Disneyland has been used to bring in the most draconian, terrible laws in California, the most strictest in the United States, some of the most strictest forced vaccination laws in the world in California. Yep. Now, yep. I don't know if it'll stay in because people are angry about this, but that was used. That measles one. So problem, reaction, solution, Dave.
Yep.
You know, exactly. They create this fake propaganda outbreak. Who knows what happened? The media spin it. Everyone panics. And then bang, you've got the most vicious laws being brought into California, and I'm worried that that's going to start happening here. I really am, and I don't think anybody wants that.
The legislation has been drawn up, you know, like they're going to take away the payments.
That's for starters.
You don't vaccinate your kids.
And I already spoken to parents.
That's right.
I've spoken to parents, Dave, who didn't vaccinate their first ones, and they're getting three or four now, so it's okay so much, but they've got new babies, and they're saying, I'm gonna have to do it.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to vaccinate them.
This is a problem. This is a problem, Adam, because what are people going to do who seriously have studied this? What are they going to do?
The only way in California is to homeschool. But how many parents here are going to be able to do that? And that's for
now. It's
going
to have to be done.
But that's going to be taken away soon as well. And also, Dave, anyone working with children, you know, anyone working in schools, whatever it is, you will have to be vaccinated as well. And it's going to roll on from there to the point where you can't get on a plane. You know, you won't be able to go out of your country or through into other states anywhere without having your vaccination certificates. You know, it used to be for having, you know, you want to go to Brazil or somewhere, you've got to have a yellow fever certificate. It's going to be like that for everything.
Yeah,
and they're going to be new vaccines. Yeah, they'll give you a combination of 50 vaccines, Dave, in one shot.
They'll give you a chip.
Well, the microchip may intravenously, you know, inject or release the vaccine into your blood as you need it, Dave.
No, well, we won't need to, because the computers we were talking about with that Jade Helm. That's it.
They'll know if you're getting
it or not. You'll suddenly disappear.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's crazy, but this is what's happening.
It'll make your chip explode.
Well, of course they're going to do that. I mean, they've already done it. Exterminate people thousands of miles away.
Yeah, if you've got a microchip in you, that immediately ties up to Jade Helm, Dave. I mean, absolutely.
Yes, it does.
It's frightening.
It is.
But are you already
considering, like, what was it, 1,400 innocent people were killed by Obama's drones in, what, 3 or 4 years or something? And there's no – he should be charged with murder for that. But there's again, it's, you know, it's just Muslims. So don't worry about Muslims. They don't count as people, unfortunately, compared to, you know, the normal public, people that read the Murdoch media. So it's not going to
the Zionist Christians.
Yeah.
Old Bush, I remember him and Clinton, when Clinton got caught mucking around with old Monica, he came out of a church there. I saw the images, and he had a Bible under his arm, would you believe?
Yeah, that's
it's a classic joke. It's so sick, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, it's just more of our politicians are the most double standard, hypocritical race of things. I couldn't even call them people. The ones that we got in Australia at the moment.
They're just actors, Dave. They're just actors in a game to distract us.
If you read the protocols, there is no way any politician can be successful unless he's that type.
Yeah, exactly. That's why we always get Rhodes Scholars for Prime Ministers, et cetera, et cetera. What are they schooled in, you know?
Yeah,
what has Rhodes been teaching them?
Well, Rhodes and the Rothschilds, I mean, it's that's a massive story, that one. We should we should get stuck into that one night.
Yeah. They've only just ripped
in on Rhodes. And that's affecting us today. The Rhodes Scholarship is affecting us today, and people don't understand that. They think, oh, he's a very intelligent man or a woman. He's got a Rhodes Scholarship. Well, that means he's brainwashed and he's controlled by the Rothschilds.
Someone else, yes, exactly. And this thing, people don't understand. You vote Labor or you vote Liberal, it does not make any difference.
It comes
from the same pool. You know, and they're still enforcing their doctrine, whether it be the left doctrine or the right doctrine.
Well, Malcolm Fraser, just prior – sorry, Dave, to butt in, but Malcolm Fraser, God bless him, just before his death said that. He said
Indeed, he did. Two
Australian political parties. They might as well – why don't they just join forces?
They were our last two leaders we buried in the past couple of years, Whitlam and Fraser. They're our last two leaders. Everyone else has been just a puppet. They've been placed there – ever since Bob Hawke got in on that drover's dog election.
Well, he's another Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone has been since. Gillard, the works, you know. So whatever leader we get, they're going to be a Rhodes Scholar and they're just going to enforce the same doctrines and using the same agendas. So it makes no difference. You know, and any policy that's introduced by any of our leaders is all basically passed from these financially corporate-funded think tanks, like the Australia Institute or the Institute of Public Affairs or the Lowy Institute or all these other institutes. They make the legislation and pass it to the parliament to pass it on to the people. It's got nothing to do with the people wanting something and the government giving it to them. So then in order to pass all these things, they create the agendas, the false flags, you name it. You can see the whole political gambit when you break it down into that scenario and you understand that they're just nothing more than puppets, actors doing what their masters wish them to do, and that's it.
Absolutely.
There's no way around it. And I've had so many arguments with people over politics, and I was called a left winger the other day because I didn't want to rise up against Muslims. But again, this is part of the agenda. It's more divide and conquer. And if you keep the people in fear and fighting each other, then you get away with anything.
Yep.
So while we're all attacking each other over religion, sex, whatever it is.
We're all getting stabbed in the back.
We're all getting stabbed in the back. It's like, like Hamas, for instance. That's a wing of the Israeli Defense Forces.
And how it
works. Simple, right? Israel rings up Hamas and says, can you fire three rockets into an empty car park?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That was a classic.
Understand how it works. So,
oh, my God.
Did you see
that on the news, Dave? The rocket being fired into Israel?
I did. Three of them. Three of these piss-ass little rockets.
Little fizzly things you used to fire up in the park when you were in high school, on firecracker night and fizzing out in the field somewhere.
They sent them in from the Sinai, claiming to be Islamic State, so that Israel can turn around and say, oh, we got hit too, so that you can't think that we're behind IS,
Israel's incinerating people in the Gaza, incinerating them, but we see these fizzly rockets going in a desert area somewhere and suddenly they've been attacked. It was incredible.
Yeah. I laughed.
I laughed when I saw it. Yep. Yeah.
It was so typical, was it not?
You saw these guys shooting it off, with their faces covered. It's just ludicrous. And the media made a big spin about it, but we don't hear about, what's really going on. It's incredible.
We got no idea what's really going on over there. We're just getting force-fed lies. I mean, we've got that there's a reporter who's been kidnapped by ISIS and he's being held captive, but he makes documentaries for them. And he's as happy as Larry. Looks like he's David Attenborough out in the bush looking at some animals. No.
And you think they probably threw in a couple of virgins.
Oh, who knows? Who knows? And there was Naomi Wolf, well-known author and journalist. Questions about this, the first guy that was beheaded, James, can't remember his name now, in the video. She questions, well, we didn't hear about him being kidnapped in the first place. We didn't hear about him being held. So where did he come from? You know what I mean? Questioned that. And it's a very valid point. We're hearing about, you know, heard about a London cab driver who gave up everything and left his three kids to go and go to the Middle East for some reason and gets kidnapped and beheaded. Why? Why? Yeah. What sort of sane person does this? The only people that are being attracted by IS are either mentally ill or very, very short of a couple of bottles short of a six pack. You know, these little kids that are, little kids that are getting attracted to IS and sticking their fingers up, you know, they've probably got two brain cells to rub together at best and probably feed themselves. Or you've got the other one over there, Khalid Sharif, the Australian guy, who they believe was killed. He's a diagnosed schizophrenic and a bumbling idiot. Apparently he tried to steal some batteries to make bombs and he ran out of the supermarket and they all fell out of his pockets. And that's what he got arrested for. I mean, we're talking about people that, you know, their IQ is set at room temperature. You know, they can't think. They can't see that this Islamic State is a concoction of quite a few countries in order to put, again, fear into the people and in order to overthrow Syria, basically. That's what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's why the Iranians want to fight them, because Iran knows exactly what IS is, and it sticks its hand up and says, we'll take them on, because it knows it'll blow them out of the water. And, you know, for instance, what happened in Yemen? You know, there was a revolution in Yemen. The Saudi Arabians didn't take any. It took them 5 minutes to think about throwing, you know, 57 F-16s in there and bombing the shit out of them. So why can't they do it with Islamic State? And you've got to look at the propaganda behind it too. It's just massive. It's Hollywood-style stuff. This is, you know, this is a massive machine. It's a massive psychological operation to put fear into people. And that's why I keep coming back to the Link Cafe siege in Australia, because Australians, Australia, we have had bugger all history of terrorism acts. You know, we are so easily scared. You know, some people, like people in Gaza, for instance, have been bombed into obliteration for 30 years, 40 years. Yet, you know, they understand, they know. Australians don't. All it takes is one person to hold up a flag and kill somebody, and that's it. The whole nation's now in fear. Everybody's in fear, and that's what they want. Control the masses. Divide, conquer, and you can just see the whole game, you know. So that's why I keep coming back to the Lynch siege, because it's the Australian precedent that's been set for this country, and it'll go down in history as the greatest, you know, terrorist act ever, put upon the Australian people. But like I said, Australians scare easily. Kill one, scare a thousand. And unfortunately, we're all scared. Everyone's scared. Doesn't matter who you talk to. So, I mean, it's worked. The psychological ploy has worked.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
So,
I agree, Dave. I absolutely agree 100%. You're spot on, mate. And it's good to hear you young people talking like this, because we need more.
You know, I know.
We need more and more young people coming, putting their shoulder to the wheel, because, you know, if we've got to stop being feared, fear of what? Fear of our own government. Is that what it boils down to?
That's exactly what it boils down to. When you look at it, take all the Band-Aids off and have a look at the wound, and it's just your own government.
Yes.
You know, it's all working for an agenda, and I still don't understand what all the agenda is. I mean, I understand that, you know, it's locking down on resources, et cetera, but what's the big story? What's the big picture? And all this, you put all this together and you come up with what? So that's where I am. I sort of don't understand what the whole scenario is all about.
Well, as this guy said to me this morning, he said, you can see the fear in their eyes.
Yeah.
And I'd never thought about that.
Yep.
So I'm going to start looking.
Yeah. Start asking some questions too.
And the fear in their eyes of these politicians, that's what he claimed.
Yep, because they know something is coming, and that's why I'm hedging my bet on the financial collapse and the coming war. So that's just, it's going to be brutal. It'll be absolutely brutal. You know, I've heard people talk about most of Europe will be gone, the northern part of Europe will be gone, England will be gone, America will be gone, and Australia, well, it'll be gone as well. So these people obviously know something a lot more than what we do, and they're just, you know, corralling the sheep or corralling the cows, you know, and just keeping them happy until the slaughterhouse, you know.
Going to their underground condos.
Fattening us up.
Yeah. Yeah,
going underground.
So that seems to me to be the biggest agenda. It's, you know, it's going to be a financial collapse. It's going to be a world war, and a lot of bad stuff is going to happen, and it will just obliterate people. You know, it's a hard thing to deal with, especially when you've got kids. You know, and what sort of world you're going to leave them. So
yes,
it's a real minefield, a moral minefield. You know, to walk through and to think, well, this is all going to happen, and they know it's going to happen. But they're not going to tell us until it's honest. We'll probably never know the truth anyway.
Yeah.
So,
it's been great talking to you, Dave.
Yeah, we'll pack it in now, Dave.
Very, very, very enlightening. And I tell you what, I hope some people can walk away from listening and start to think a little bit.
Well, I hope so too. You know, I'm trying to wake people up as best as I can, but. You know, you just get called a conspiracy theorist and all this sort of stuff. I'll just go and, you know, iron out my tinfoil and straighten up my coat hanger.
just keep going.
I just keep going, you know, and I've got so much shit for it for so many years. And as I was telling someone on Facebook the other day, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to keep putting it out there and putting it out there. You know, for every person that calls me a conspiracy theorist, there's probably – 1/10 of that that actually, you know, understand what I'm talking about.
We have a blog on crazfiles.com, Dave, if you want to put any stories up.
Maybe I should.
What I mean is if you have something that you want to write, put it through to me and I'll turn it into a story and put it up in the blog section.
Yep,
I'm trying to get more.
Yep.
No one sort of wants to do it so much. I've got some PDFs up there, Garth. And a few things, from Dr. Rima. So anything you want to write, Dave, let me know on Facebook or whatever, and then email it to me and we'll put them up. You know, that's what I want to use the website for, you know?
Yep.
As well, to get those blogs up and your opinions, anything like that. So do that as well, and we'll catch up with you again very soon.
Yep, not a worry. It's been an absolute pleasure, gentlemen. Always is.
No worries, and we'll speak again next time and keep pouring through this, trying to find out what the hell's going on.
Yes.
Just turn off Facebook and you'll see me. Anyone? David Black? Yep.
That's it, Dave? David Black on Facebook? Anything else you want to get out there before we plug
out? That's pretty much it, mate. I pretty much did what I needed to say. So,
great talking to you, Dave.
No worries,
Take care, mate.
Good. No worries. Okay, gentlemen.
Goodbye for now.
Okay, talk to you later. See ya.